why we're here. And so we always pray for his presence to be manifest in our midst. And sometimes you just have to contend a little harder for that. But let's just keep believing that his eyes are upon this church. His eyes are upon you. And that he has good things in store. Amen. Well, we're still in the kingdom of God. We've been looking at the last several weeks over different laws of the kingdom, and today this is going to be the last law that we're going to look at. Not to say that there aren't more. We could continue adding to the laws. And over the next couple of weeks, we're going to be looking at the kingdom of God from a different perspective. But today we're going to look at the law of dominion, which is going to take us all the way back to the beginning, kind of where we started with this whole series about the kingdom of God. And so as we begin, let's go back to Genesis chapter 1. And look at verses 26 through 28. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the heavens, over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." And so God created man in his own image. The image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the heavens, and over every living thing that moves on the earth." Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your word. And thank you for your Holy Spirit who enlightens us, who gives us understanding of your word, because we know that the natural man can't understand the things of God, but your Spirit reveals them to us. And so we pray that your Holy Spirit will speak to us today, that you will open our hearts and our minds to hear what you want us to hear. And so, Lord, we thank you that you are present with us and that you have a word that we can respond to that will help to build our faith. In Jesus' name, amen. So when we look at this scripture here, it shows us what really is God's original purpose for man. Verse 26 says, "Let us make man in our image and let them have dominion." And then again in verse 28, he says, "And God blessed them, and God said to them, 'Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion.'" Now, in these verses, of course, when God created all of creation, it wasn't in his image. Only man was made in the image of God. But it talks about the fish and the birds and the cattle and the creeping things. And then we get down to verse 29, and he adds the flowers and the plants and the vegetables and the fruit. And God says in verse 29, "Behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the face of the earth, every tree with seed in its fruit, and you shall have them for food." So God was setting up his kingdom on the earth, and he delegated power and authority to man to rule over all creation. Man was to be God's representative ruler here on the earth. And as long as man lived under God's authority and in obedience and relationship with God, he would be able to rule the earth. He would walk in authority and in dominion. Now, one of the things we notice is that when he says have dominion over all of creation, the one thing man was not given dominion over was man. Man was not made to rule man. We weren't made to control and manipulate and subdue other men. Men were to live in fellowship and relationship and love and unity and harmony with one another. It wasn't just Adam and Eve who were going to rule over all mankind. No, they were going to rule over all creation, but as they were told to be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth, it wasn't so that they could rule over other men and other women. It was so that they could live together in love and harmony. Does that make sense? Are you with me? Yes. Now, this word dominion is rada, which means to rule or to subjugate. It means to bring under dominion or control. So there was an aspect of control, which is similar to the word subdue, which is kabash. Don't you like that? Kabash. It's just one of those. Which means to bring under control. But usually in the scripture, it was by force. So dominion was to rule and control, but subdue was to do it by force, to have control and rule by force. So this word subdue then, if it's by force, kind of implies or assumes then that not everything is going to be willingly controlled or willingly brought under your authority, that there would be some things that would be hostile or resistant to the subduer, to man, and would need some sort of coercion or force in order for the subduing to take place. And throughout the Bible, whenever we see this word subdue, it usually is translated as conquest or forced servitude. So as rulers of the earth, not everything will submit to our rulership and must be forced to comply. Now, this not only refers to the natural creation, but I think what we have in here are the satanic forces that God knew, because Satan had been cast out of heaven, he had been cast down to earth, and he knew that there was going to be resistance, that there would be satanic forces that would be opposing man's rulership. See, Adam had dominion before they fell. Even while Satan was there as a serpent, man still had dominion. And if they hadn't yielded to his lie, man would have continued to manifest dominion, control over the satanic forces. But then when they yielded to his temptation is when they lost that dominion. So satanic forces, I think, are involved in this, and maybe they're also implied or at least included in the creeping things that it talks about. Because Satan did appear how? As a creeping thing, no, as a serpent. And so in Genesis 3, verses 14 and 15, God said, "Because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and above all the beasts of the field. On your belly you shall go, and dust you shall eat all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your offspring and her offspring, and he shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." Now Satan, of course, as I mentioned, appeared to Adam and Eve as the serpent, as that creeping thing. And then here in this verse, it talks about that conflict that will take place between Satan and man. And of course, he's specifically talking about the battle between Jesus and Satan, and how the one will bruise the head and the other will bruise the heel, that is what took place on the cross. But in John chapter 1 John 3:8, he gives us a clear understanding of what that conflict was all about and what the result was. He says, "For this purpose, the Son of God was manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil."
Hallelujah.
So when Adam and Eve gave in to Satan's lie, he usurped the authority to rule. They lost the authority to rule, and he took it, and he became the ruler. And that's why Jesus calls Satan the ruler of this world in John 12:31. That's when Satan was tempting Jesus. He says, "If you just worship me, I'll let you be the ruler of the world." Well, Jesus didn't say, "You're not the ruler of the world, I am." No, Jesus didn't question that, because he knew that Satan had usurped that authority and that he was the prince of the power of the air and the ruler of this world. And so while man was originally created to be the ruler of the world, Satan usurped that authority, and then Jesus came to destroy, or other versions will say, undo the works of the devil, to undo what Satan did and restore back to it the original intent of God. So Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil, to undo the works of Satan, restore rulership and authority to those men and women who would come under God's authority and be delivered from Satan's domain. And so that's why Colossians says that we have been, when we believe in Jesus Christ, we have been taken out of the kingdom of darkness and we have been placed into the kingdom of light. We're now no longer under Satan's domain. We are now under God's authority once again. And that's why Jesus could say to his disciples as he was getting ready to ascend back to heaven in Matthew 28:18, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore." It's interesting to look at the condition of man and see how this has played out over the years of history. Man was created to rule. That's clear. But when he gave rulership over to Satan, he put himself in the position of being ruled or brought into bondage to the very things that he was created to rule. In other words, he came under dominion of the things that he was meant to have dominion over, including the plants. For example, in 1990, there were more than 650 million people addicted to a plant. Do you know what that is?
Opium.
Pot. Tobacco. Today, the number is 1.3 billion people worldwide and 28 million people in the U.S. that are addicted to tobacco. Tobacco kills more than 8 million people each year, not to mention the millions that suffer from shortness of breath and emphysema. My grandfather smoked, and boy, he died of emphysema. It was really sad to watch him in the last years. Heart disease, cancer, and other afflictions. Now, when I mention that, I'm not saying that to judge anyone. I'm not criticizing or condemning anyone who smokes. I know that it's a very hard addiction to overcome. I've had a lot of good friends who have struggled with the habit of smoking. In fact, one man that we had in our church in Texas, he had smoked for many, many years, and God delivered him. And because he couldn't quit on his own, one day God delivered him. And he was 7 years without smoking. And one night, he was doing watchman duty out on an oil rig, and he was in a little trailer, and he was spending the night there, and he was sitting there kind of bored, and he looked over, and somebody left a pack of cigarettes, and he thought, hey, it's been 7 years since I smoked. I wonder what that would be like. And he picked up a cigarette, and he started smoking. He could never quit the rest of his life. He struggled, he cried, he prayed, and he couldn't break that habit. It grabbed him. So I know that it's strong. And he was a very good friend. He was a very faithful member of the church, one of our leaders in the church, but he just could not set himself free. So I'm not mentioning this at all except to illustrate how things have been reversed, that man was meant to have dominion but has come under dominion of tobacco. And we could look at alcohol. I mean, where does alcohol come from? Plants, no? I mean, it comes from corn and barley and rye and hops and grapes and potatoes and almost anything you want to grow, you can make alcohol out of. But in 2023, it was estimated that there were 29 million people in the U.S. with an alcohol use disorder, and over 400 million people worldwide. And tobacco and alcohol rob people of their health and of their happiness. They destroy marriages, destroy families, destroy relationships. And this was never what God intended. And there's more. I mean, we could keep going down the list. We could talk about pot. We could talk about marijuana or other drugs, opium and other drugs. We know that there's an epidemic right now in our world that's destroying people's lives. And not to mention the economic toll that it's taking on society. And again, my point is not to judge or to criticize, but just to show how God's plan for his people was to be the head and not the tail. They were to lend and not borrow. They were to have dominion and rule, not be ruled over or controlled or put into bondage to creation. Or as Bob said on Friday night in CR, we're in a mess. The world is a mess. You know?
So leaving God into it, it's a glorious mess.
And so when man broke away from God's authority, thinking that he was setting himself free to be like God, he actually was losing control and bringing himself under bondage to sin and Satan, who rules the world. And so man without God is captive to the world, the flesh, and the devil. Now, we could continue talking about all the bad news, but there's good news.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. There's good news. Aren't you glad for that? Jesus came to what? To destroy the works of the devil. He came to set us free from bondage. He came to restore rulership so that we could be who we were created to be and do what we were created to do. Jesus came that we might have life, that we might have it more abundantly. But we've been deceived by the one who came to kill, steal, and destroy. We've followed, Jesus talked about the wide road. Enter through the wide gate. No, we followed the wide road that instead of going through that narrow gate. You know, we followed the crowd. And in Proverbs it says there's a way that seems right to man. And so the crowd goes in that direction. But where does it end? You know, it ends in destruction. No, it ends in death. But Jesus came to show us a better way. There's a popular song that you might be hearing on the radio. Jesus, your way is better. And so Jesus came to show us a better way. In Luke 9, 1 and 2, it says, he called the 12 together and gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. Doesn't that sound like having dominion? Gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. And he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal. It's God's will for his people to walk in dominion. And he uses two words in this verse, power and authority. Power is the Greek word dunamis, where we get our word dynamite. You know, it's that explosive power. It's force, power to perform miracles. Someone has called this resident power, resident power. It's resident within me. It dwells within me because the Holy Spirit is within me. I have the Holy Spirit, and so I have this dunamis, this power of God within me. And then there's authority, with it, which is exousia, which talks about being delegated power or delegated authority. That it's authority to rule that's backed by a greater power. So when Paul writes to the Corinthians and he says, we are ambassadors for God, that's what an ambassador is. It's a person with delegated authority to represent God. So we are here as God's representatives, and he's given us this exousia, this authority, this delegated power or authority to rule. And so Jesus continues to say in Luke 10:19, behold, I have given you all authority to tread on serpents and scorpions, those creeping things, you know, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. And what Jesus was saying, I think, is that which Adam and Eve lost in the garden, I'm restoring back to you. They gave up authority to rule over Satan, but I am now restoring that to you. I'm giving you authority over demons, over Satan, over creeping things, and nothing will hurt you. So that was lost in the garden, I have come to restore. And that's why I've come to destroy or to undo the works of the devil, so that you could be restored back to the original intent of creation. I want you now to walk in dominion, is what he was saying to his disciples, I think. Now remember those two words that we mentioned at the beginning, dominion and subdue? While Satan has been defeated, he hasn't surrendered, at least not peacefully or quietly. He must be subdued. And that's why Jesus said in Matthew 11:12, from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has suffered violence, and the violent take it by force. See, this is warfare. We are engaged in a spiritual battle between two kingdoms. Have any of you experienced that battle? Yeah, I think we all have, haven't we? It's warfare. The kingdom of darkness is trying to kill and steal and destroy, but the kingdom of light is penetrating that darkness to bring life, and life abundant. So, what's the point? Don't let Satan deceive you. Don't believe the lie that you must live in bondage to sin and sickness and poverty and pain. Don't let Satan discourage you into giving up on your children and your unsaved loved ones and thinking, oh, there's no hope for them, they're lost. Keep fighting, keep contending, keep claiming their salvation, keep calling them back to what they were, to those seeds that were planted in their life when they were younger. Don't Jesus wants us to reign in life. That's kingdom living. And so he calls us to exercise dominion in Jesus' name. We can't do it. It's not in us. It's only as we are under his authority in obedience to him, but with his spirit and his word within us, we can subdue the enemy. We can stop him from having control in our lives. We have to realize, you know, it's great to just be blessed, but we're soldiers. We're in war. And war is violent. But the advantage that we have is the greater is he who is in us than he who is in the world. Greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. Why don't you point to the person next to you and say, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. You see, it's time for the church to begin exerting authority and living in dominion as God intended. Amen. Be encouraged. I've overcome the world. Don't give up. Don't lose faith. I've overcome the world. You're going to have trouble. You're going to have tribulation. There's going to be battles. But don't lose hope. Don't lose faith. I've overcome the world. And he's restored that dominion to us to walk in that authority and that power. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, that we don't have to live under the power and dominion of the evil one, that we don't have to live our lives in the kingdom of darkness, but that you have delivered us from the kingdom of darkness and placed us into the kingdom of love and light. Help us, Lord, not to give in to those lies of Satan, because we know that the battlefield is in our minds and that he puts thoughts and he puts lies in there to tell us things that are contrary to what you say about us. Help us, Lord, to know what you are saying about us. Help us to know your word, to know the truth, to know who we are in Christ, to know that Christ in us is the hope of glory, and that greater is he who's in us than he who's in the world, that we don't have to give in to the lies of the enemy, that we can live above that. We don't have to give in to the addictions and the power of the enemy that wants to control, who wants to kill, steal, and destroy. But that, Lord, we truly can have life and have it more abundantly as we walk in fellowship with you. Help us, Lord, to understand that, to be open to your Holy Spirit as he guides us and leads us and fills us and empowers us to be those people that you created us to be. And I just, as we're praying and things are in private, I just want to ask if there's somebody here who would say, you know, Jesus is not my Savior. I've been hearing this. I want to walk in dominion. I want to walk in victory. But I've never really had a relationship with God. I've not really had a relationship with Jesus as my Savior. And I would like to meet him. I would like to be born again. I would like to have that experience of entering into a relationship with Jesus and becoming a child of God. And if that is you, I'd just love to pray with you. And just acknowledge that by looking up at me or lifting your hand and just saying, yeah, pray for me. I don't feel like I have a relationship with God, and I want that. Is there anyone here who would respond in that way? Just want to give you that opportunity. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Just help us to continue to grow in you and to experience your fullness in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Do we have a song to sing at the end of this?